Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Good to go to church on Wednesday night. Good to have church on Wednesday night. You should know the difference between them two. You can go to church and not have church. You don't have church unless you meet with the Lord. He is the critical ingredient, the must. And I read this. I'm sure you've all read it and heard it so much you probably haven't memorized it, but it's worth repeating. What if, I was thinking about this when he sang that song, if I can word it the way I read it, what if God only gave us tomorrow what we thanked Him for today? You think about that. What have you thanked Him for today? And if that was going to be a precursor for what He was going to give us tomorrow, for what prayers He would answer tomorrow, probably a lot of us would end up with a very little, because we have failed to thank Him. But I promise we will never, ever be thanking Him for no reason. There's a purpose in praising Him. He inhabits the praise of His people. And when we fail to, that's a big deal in the Bible. I mean, if you read all the way back in the Old Testament, God said, I'll make the rocks cry out if you don't praise Me. And so we ought to be thankful that we get to praise Him. Amen. I'm not going to say much more about that this evening. I'm not trying to prime you or pump you. But some of the greatest experiences I've ever had was praising the Lord, worshiping God. And there's a difference there between praise and worship. A lot of times in these days you hear praise and worship and your mind goes to a completely different place. Praise and worship should not be bad words. These churches advertise praise and worship bands and praise and worship teams and praise and worship dancers, and the list goes on and on. I'm not going to deal with that this evening. Just say this: God inhabits the praise of His people. He'll habitate where we praise Him. He'll come and dwell where we praise Him. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You say, well, I praise Him, but I'm just quiet about it. I'll just say this. You got to have some spirit. There's got to be some life there. I think that's a cop-out. We took hook, line, and sinker a long time ago. Now, if I go with somebody to the ball game and they sit there quiet, some people do. I know some people. I know some people in this room who do that. I'm not saying this is everybody, but most people who go to a ball game will get up and cheer their team. And they will get emotional about it. We are emotional beings. And if we get more energetic, more emotional, and more driven to praise a football team or cheer them on than we do the God of heaven, well, we've got our priorities out of order. And so, anyway, that ain't what we're coming to deal with this evening. Take your book and go to page 53. And we might cover two this evening. I'm not going to start out by saying we are, because I don't like being made a liar. But we might. The next one, I'm really wanting to get to the next one. But I can't look over this one because it's so good too. Page 53 in your book. And we'll go to the Word of God in just a moment. But to Genesis 24. Dealing with the life and the prayer of Eliezer. Y'all know who Eliezer is, don't you? That was the servant of God that Abraham sent out to find a wife for his son Isaac. Remember that servant, Eliezer? The heading of this lesson says how praying specific prayers gives way to specific answers. I'm going to give them just a moment. Y'all come on in. Don't rush yourself, but we're on page 53. Is that the page I said? Yes, page 53 in your book, Genesis chapter 24. We just started. So y'all ain't lost anything but the good singing we've had. It's been tremendous. So Eliezer, he prays a prayer. He's been given a... We might read this in passing and think, no big deal. But this was a giant deal that Abraham put on this servant of God. He said, I want you to go out into a foreign land and find my son Isaac a daughter. That is no small feat. Obviously Abraham knew the character of Eliezer to give him the job and to know that he would at least pray about it, which he did. And I'll say more about that in a minute. But let's look. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, was given the monumental task of finding a bride for the promised son, Isaac. This was no small assignment. It would be through the seed of Isaac that all the nations of the world would be blessed. Think about that. The God of Abraham, who? And Isaac, and of Jacob. The God, that phrase and that truth that's in the Word of God has went out to unknown numbers of nations. And an innumerable amount of people are under that heading and have been blessed because Abraham had a son named Isaac, but Abraham gave his servant Eliezer a job to do, and he was faithful to not just do it haphazardly, to not do it halfway, but to see the significance of the task that he had been given and to go to his knees and not just do it any old way, but to do it the right way, and that was to pray about it and seek the heart and mind of God. And he did. Thankfully, he did. And so let's go on. The messianic implication of this historic mission was one of great responsibility, one that laid heavily upon the servant. He was not called upon simply to pick out any lady to his liking. No, he knew his selection must be ordained of God. Therefore, when we came to Mesopotamia, just outside of Nahor, he stopped by a well and made this prayer unto the Lord. And this is in Genesis 24, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says, O Lord, and this is him praying, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. That is a special prayer. You say, well, what's the big deal? What we're going to deal with this evening? Do you know if you pray general prayers, you probably never going to be overwhelmed when God answers, because you ain't going to really know. And it don't take much faith to pray just, well, bless our church. But if you say, Lord, bless Jeff and Tanisha and do this for them today. Today, Lord, do this. Look at how specific he got. He said, Lord, I need this great thing done. I don't know how to do it right, but I'm coming to you. And best I know, Lord, if you could just send one of them damsels out here, and when I ask her to drink, she'll say, let me feed you camels too. And let me water you camels too. We dealt some last week with how God puts it in our minds what to pray. I believe God helped him to understand what to do. But God also was working on the other end and was preparing a damsel, not just to answer this prayer, but to be the answer to this prayer, to be the bride of Isaac. And so he worked it in these two hearts, and because he was willing to get specific and not just general with God, God answered him specifically. Eliezer prayed that the appointed damsel would not only offer him something to drink, but would provide water for his entourage of camels. And you all know that happened. And not only did it happened almost as soon as he got done praying. When he looked up saying, amen, send me a damsel that's going to offer me something to drink and my camels, there stands Rebekah. saying, "Sir, would you like some water? And by the way, can I feed your camel? Can I water your camels too?" Well, don't you know business picked up? Don't you know there was a tingling his step? And he knew God had just answered him, and it wasn't some generality. It wasn't some small thing. It was specific, exactly what he just asked for. That will ignite our prayer life. When we pray so general and so abstract to where we don't know when God does it, we don't know how he does it, we just go on, and it don't create any more faith in us. It don't build any faith in us. It don't build any character in us. But don't you know this ignited his fuse and said, "Wow, as soon as I ask, he answered." And this is the question. You say, "Well, I've tried that before and God didn't answer." I hope I'm going to help you with something in this next chapter. In this next chapter of the book dealing with Isaac and praying for your bride or praying for your spouse. Whew, buddy, I learned something there. Isaac don't pray but like one or two times in the whole Bible. You don't see it. But the couple times he does, and if you go back and look at the verbiage and the context and the way it's written, the way the verbs where it says he prayed, he wasn't just praying one time. You know he prayed for over 20 years for his wife to not be barren? It wasn't one prayer. So we'll deal with that next. I don't want to spend too much time. But he prayed one specific prayer. One. And believed. And it takes faith to believe. And it takes faith to ask God to do something specific. Because you're really putting God on the spot. And you're putting your faith on the spot. Have you ever thought about asking God for something and said, "If I get that specific, ain't no way it's going to happen." Can I say that? The Lord loves getting into the minute parts of our mind. He loves to hear the details. He don't want generalities. He wants specifics. And he answers that way. And so let's look. God not only gave an immediate answer, but he gave an answer in response to the specifications of the prayer. Exactly what he asked for happened. Specifically. What he prayed, that was the answer. Wouldn't that radically change our prayer life if tonight we got down and said, "Lord, no more beating around the bush. I'm going to put faith in you and believe that when I ask for this specifically, this number, this person, this thing, and name it, I'm going to believe you to do it." And then wait and believe him to do it. Wouldn't and when he does, you say, "But what if he don't?" He will. He said, "Ask and I will give it." It ain't a question of if he can. It ain't even a question of if he will. He promised he would. If we pray in his will, he will answer. The Bible says this, and this little verse that you all know sums up what I'm saying the best it can be put. We have not because we ask not. Imagine how much stuff we don't have because we simply just don't trust God to ask him for it. Say, "Well, I ain't got the faith to believe." Why not? It ain't because he's failed you in the past. I promise, he's never failed you or me. So it ain't God's fault. If our faith is rattled and weak, that's not God's fault. That's ours. And that's what we're trying to build here. I promise you, I'm wasting my time if all you're getting is an education on how to pray. I want us to put this in practice and us all to have a better prayer life. And so if we're not implementing this and putting it in shoe leather, then it's pointless. So I hope I challenge you this evening to pray more specifically, to believe God and to at least try it. Try it. And see if he won't. What's that verse in the Malachi? God said, "Try me and see if I won't bless you, open up the windows of heaven." I say, try him in prayer. I guarantee you he will do more for you and for me than we believe he will. He answered Eliezer specifically and on time. Specific praying yields specific results. What kind of father would provide a serpent when his child asks for a fish? Who would give their son a plate of stones when they request was for bread? I suppose serpents and stones have their benefit in different settings, but the Father gives in accordance to the request. Therefore, fish and bread are given by the Father because that is what was asked for by the children. I mentioned this last week and made this generalization and comparison, but and these verses have been alluded to. If an earthly father will give to our children, if I will give to my children what they ask, how much more do you think your heavenly Father? What have we painted him out to be? Some big stone God up in heaven that's ready to crush down on us, or so distant that he don't want to hear us? No, he's your loving heavenly Father that's intimate with you and that's waiting to hear from you. Hey, Father, let me ask you this. You got a child you ain't spoke to in a while? Think about how much you would love to have a conversation. I mean, it's been months since you spoke to them, heard their voice. Are you thinking, wow, it's been so long, they might as well don't even come talk to me? No. If you ain't a kind of father at all, you will want to hear their voice. And no matter where they at, what they've done, what kind of mess they've been in, if you love your children, you want to hear their voice. And you want to help them. That's what a father does. Even when they're wrong, you want to help them. You want to help them get out of their wrong. When they're right, you want to help them to go to higher levels, whatever the situation. And so if I ain't like Macy, she was stupid enough to put this out publicly. She said, tell me something about what advice would you give me right now? I said, come home. That's what I put. I'm in it too. She's coming home tonight and I can't wait. I miss her.
Amen.
And I can't wait to hear her loud mouth be there long enough to get on my nerves. And she will before the night's over. And I'll be like, go to your room and get out of my face, girl. You've talked too much already. But then when I wake up in the morning, I want to hear her voice again. I won't want her to be gone. You know why? Because I love her. She's my child. And if me, being a sinful man, can love my child that much and want a relationship and fellowship with my child that much, and I will sit and listen to her boring stories and every detail under the moon that I could care less about, but I'll sit there and give her my ear. If I'll do that, please know your heavenly Father will listen intently. If I'm patient enough to listen to all the nonsense, he is. He's way more patient than I am. I promise that. I told people before, you better be glad I wasn't God. I lose my patience, Brother Ned. I do. And before you look down your long spiritual snout, you come raise four daughters. You'll lose yours too. So if an earthly father will do this, your heavenly Father will. And it begs the question, I don't hardly hit this on Wednesday night, hardly ever. I just assume everybody's saved, but it could very easily be people sitting on these pews here this evening that he's not your father. And that may be why you don't never talk to him. Listen, I don't know why the Lord's had me deal with this tonight, but being saved is way more than coming and praying a prayer in an altar, joining the church, getting baptized, start carrying a Bible, be associated with Christian people. Do you have a conversation with him? And if you do, how often? Do you know him? Not know him educationally, but do you know him intimately? You need to. Oh, you need to. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. If we have not, it is not because we have failed to ask it. Or if we have asked, it's so generic. Listen, if we have asked for something, it's so generic and broad that God's glory would be concealed in the giving. God gets glory when he answers a prayer. God gets glory when he flexes his muscle. And I tell you this, you know what one of the best things about Christmas is? Well, Jenny goes out and spends all his money. But I give her permission to, because she loves it. And I hate shopping, but she loves it. She's addicted to it. And now they create it where you can do it from home and have a little cardboard box to show up at your house. I believe that man will suffer seven plagues for her. I'm just kidding. But you know what I love about Christmas is waking up. And I used to love getting presents. I did. I bet I loved it as much as anybody. I loved it. Now, I could care less. I want to see them girls open them boxes and tear off that paper, and I'll sit back and just watch. Say, oh, yeah, Daddy did that. Daddy bought that. Yeah, Mama picked that, but I paid for it. Yeah, I love it. I way better than me getting something is them getting something. And that's God's glory. That's a father's glory, is seeing his children have joy and be blessed. And God gets to flex and gets to have glory when he answers our prayer and gets to give to us. And he sits back, and I think he loves that. I know he does. And we fail him when we get so just generic. Well, oh, Lord, you know my needs. Lord, you know my sins. Let's stop right there. Lord, you know I failed you today. Oh, he does know we failed him today. But he wants to know a little bit more about it than that. We just like to take a grab bag, just grab all today and pull it in here and say, all right, God, take it all. You didn't do it all at one time. And I'll say this, if it was a big enough deal, Brother Bobby, for him to take nails in the hands and the feet, be beaten and bloodied for that one sin, it's big enough for us to confess it and forsake it and repent of it. So what if I can't remember them all? I promise you this. I've done this. I promise you. I have thought, Lord, there ain't no way I could recall every sin. If you'll sit before him and say, Lord, bring it back to my memory. When I come back to Packlet, after I left 15 years ago, they was people I owed money to. It's I hate to say that, but it's truth. I mean, some years had went by, and it had been many times, Brother Jackie, I had bowed down before him and said, Lord, if I've done anything that I hadn't asked you to forgive me of, if there's anything between me and you, bring it to my memory. And you know what? Sometimes he don't do it all at one time, but he will do it. We'd come back to visit, and I'd ride through town, and the Lord would say, hey, you see that man right there? You owe him $5. $5? Lord, that's been 2 years ago. He said, you asked me to tell you. I was thankful he did, and I gladly went and gave that $5. I couldn't keep it in my hand long enough. Take this money. It's yours. And they'd say, what? I'd say, yeah, 2 years ago, I borrowed this from you. I promise you, if you'll sit before him, you'll be amazed at how specific he'll get. We just under this influence, like, Lord, I pray how's that go? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And we just grab all my stuff today and forgive it. Oh, that ain't how it works. And that thing about if I have sinned, you say, what's this got to do with Eliezer? He prayed specifically. And I'm talking about praying specifically. If you pray, if I've sinned, you have. You might as well just throw that if out the window. There ain't no if to it. You did. So you might as well say, Lord, I've sinned. Do you know when we say that if, that makes old self-righteous man inside us feel good. You might as well just let if be removed from your dictionary. When it comes to saying if I've sinned, because you have. You probably couldn't even say, if I sin on the way to church, most of us. You might not could. But you have sinned today, and I have too. But ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Even though it might have been a little bit or a lot, he'll forgive it all. Amen. If we'll get specific and ask him, Lord, I failed you here, and I failed you there. I wasn't faithful there. I should have witnessed to that person. I should have given that. I should have done that. I shouldn't have did that and that and that and that. And I shouldn't have said that to her. Well, I'm telling you, it's like a balm for your soul. It's cleansing to really repent. And we do it so generic and so nonchalantly. We don't truly feel sorrow. We don't have any godly sorrow, just lumping everything in one, saying, Lord, forgive me for all of it. No. There's a wage for it, and there's a price for it. Anyways, I can see now we're not going to get through two today. Sorry. Eliezer's request was so specific that only God could have answered it. Oh, that's so good. We pray stuff that most other people could fix. When's the last time you said, Lord, if this gets done, ain't nobody can do it but you? You ask something for something that big or that specific and not made it so general that any old thing could happen in the day, but you prayed and you knew if that happened today, God was going to have to do it. If you don't leave with nothing tonight but this, please leave with this. Start praying specific. Start challenging God. Don't think there's anything you can ask this to. This is the Bible. Is there anything too hard for Him? No. Nothing. So you're not going to hurt His feelings by asking. And if it's not His will, He will let you know. He'll say no. And that's not a sin. It ain't wrong. He'll just let you know and you move on. And so, he prayed so specific that only God could have answered it. And only God could have received worship in the answering. God loves bestowing gifts in this manner. It is in the smallest detail that God works His greatest miracles. Therefore, let us put away vague generalities, away with vain repetition. Good gifts, certain gifts, specific gifts remain for His children. He is waiting on you even now to make your request known. Amen. Prayer principle. It is specific praying that yields specific results. God works in the details of our request so that when He answers, there will be no mistake as to who should receive glory. As God's children, we are invited to let our request be made known unto God. This is the prayer points. Generalizations is praying that requires little faith. If you don't take anything else home, take that home. Praying in general, just praying generalizations and broad strokes of prayer requires little faith, if any. But praying specific, that ups the game when it comes to faith. It is the good pleasure of our Father to bestow specific answers for specific needs. God receives optimal glory in specific prayers because such praying requires an ability beyond man's strength. Prayer passage, and Jesus stood still. This is John 14:13. Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will you that I shall do unto you? They say unto Him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. That's Matthew 20:32-34, and then John 14:13. And whatsoever you ask, shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. I never put that together till just now. Several times in this lesson, we're going home. Several times in this lesson, it linked our praying to God with Him getting glory. Did y'all see that as we went along? How God glories when He answers our prayer and when we pray specifically, and especially how He rewards specific praying because He gets the specific glory. And it linked our praying to God getting glory. Did you read that? I've read that a bunch of times, John 14:13. Listen, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, it's Jesus. He said, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus linked praying to the Father and Him getting glory to praying. So we should. Let me read you this quote and we'll be done. Oswald Chambers said, one of the most subtle burdens God ever puts on us as saints is the burden of discernment concerning our other souls. He reveals things in order that we may take the burden of these souls before Him and form the mind of Christ about them. It is not that we bring God into touch with our minds, but that we rouse ourselves unto God is able to convey His mind to us about the one for whom we intercede. It's Oswald Chambers. Next week, we'll be dealing with Isaac and the God, how God uses prayer to meet the needs of your companion and loved ones. And please don't miss next week. Next week is going to, I believe every couple, and most of our children are next door, but every married couple needs to be here. Every mom and daddy needs to be here next week for this lesson. It deals with how Isaac interceded for his wife who was barren. And the Lord's been dealing with me, and I've been studying most all day in that chapter today. And you say, well, my wife ain't barren. My wife's got children. She might be barren in childbirth. She may not be barren in childbirth, but I promise you, we got some spouses, some husbands, some wives who are barren in other parts of their life and needs a spouse, needs a wife or a husband to intercede on their behalf. Amen. And not only that, the spouses need it, but our children needs somebody to intercede. That child that they were praying for, that was a daddy's prayer and a mama's prayer who intervened on that child's behalf and brought him into being. And so, please be here next week. Don't miss if you can help him. Thank you all for being faithful tonight. I appreciate the good crowd. I think just two or three weeks ago, we were down to single digits when we first started back the Wednesdays in the Word. It seemed like, I used to say half our church went over, but I believe more than that did. Everybody went over there, but y'all didn't, and I'm glad. Thank y'all who went over to serve and help. And I think there's a couple more opportunities for people to serve and help. So if you're still interested, let me know or see my wife. That would probably get the job done better. See my wife. She will get that taken care of. All right, all hearts and minds clear.